Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome again to Higher Consciousness. And as always, I am so very honored to have this opportunity to connect with you again this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show, Higher Consciousness. Currently, I teach psychology at colleges. I have a private counseling holistic practice. I am a certified Reiki master, energy medicine practitioner, certified metaphysician, author, life coach, certified aromatherapist, and radio show talk host in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And as always, I give the reason for my developing the show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, divine prosperity, universal laws, as well as political and cultural topics. And for some of the shows, as what happened tonight, we have guests to discuss these topics and more. Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So, without further delay, I am going to introduce tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is holistic health care for pets. Again, the topic is holistic health care for pets. Our guest this evening is Dr. Cameron Moorhead, a renowned veterinarian and a veterinarian for my lovely canine and feline children. If you want to join our discussion this evening, you can dial 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 if you want to join the discussion. For those who want to use the internet, who may be on the board already, who have called in, you can type in http://tobtr.com/s/504127. Again, for those who are calling by phone but who would like to use the internet, type in http://tobtr.com/s/504127. Internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion, and only one caller at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin. My purpose for developing the show is to connect with you on a heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. Last week, we discussed the traits of fatherhood. And we had 21 live listens, 17 callers. However, since last week, we have had 300 downloads, which means 300 people have downloaded last week's show and are continuing to download the show from last week. And I'm so very thankful, as always, to each and every one of you. Since October 22nd, 2012, which was the debut of the show, we have had 32,330 listens, which includes the live calls as well. Again, let me repeat that. We have had 32,330 listens since October 22nd, and this is only in 8.5 months. Also, remember, if you can't join us live, go to the website, and you can hear all of the shows which are archived. So we pick up most of our listening audience members after the show has been aired. And what they do is they go to the archives and they can click on at any time, day or night, and listen to any of the previous shows. So that's when we receive most of our listening audience participation, not participation, but listening. Okay, so last week, as I discussed, we talked about the traits of fatherhood. And our guests last week were Jesse Simmons and Seiko Sawyer. And Jesse Simmons is a father of one son and is a highly sensitive, gifted energy healer. And he is a master in both Usui and Karuna Reiki. Jesse is extremely loving and passionate about the elevation of each and every individual he crosses paths with. And he understands the inner spiritual journey that a father must undergo to be available to his children. As a father, Jesse takes life as an opportunity to grow and help other parents, as well as others, unfold the power that resides within each of us so we can have a loving experience. Through Jesse's life experience and working with energy, founded through Reiki, a very unique form of healing has emerged through him. This unique healing system has transformed the lives of all of his clients, especially his male clients who are fathers. And the month of June, as I stated, was the month dedicated to fathers. So each Monday, I had a father highlighted, or two fathers highlighted, to talk about their experiences and their joys of being a father. And it was just really enlightening. The second guest last week was Seiko Sawyer. And Seiko has been married 36 years to Lorraine Rashida Sawyer, a very close friend of mine. And they have 3 adult children and 2 grandchildren. Seiko is an experienced marriage counselor and has been so for 20 years. And he has been an experienced counselor to wives, husbands, and couples. And this former youth counselor for Tompkins County, which is located in upstate New York, has also had experience working with disadvantaged youths. Overall, Seiko Sawyer's worldview and family view are based on the scriptures. He believes parents are to provide a nurturing, caring, and secure environment that allows children to discover themselves and their unique gifting. He believes parents are to encourage their children along their journey, provide support, and allow them to discover their own path. Parents must have awareness of the limitations of their own experiences and be aware of their own blind sides. In other words, parents need to realize they are imperfect, living in an imperfect world. Therefore, parents want to try to pass on the best of themselves and limit the imperfections that they pass on. And this is Seiko's philosophy. Both men were exceptional in terms of their delivery last week, and it was my privilege and honor to have them conclude my segment on fathers for the month of June. So for July, what I'm going to do is talk about holistic and metaphysical health. We're going to talk about holistic and metaphysical health as it relates to humans as well as pets. And that's the segue for me to talk about tonight's topic. Tonight's topic, again, is holistic health care for pets. And our esteemed speaker this evening is Dr. Cameron Moorhead, who will join us at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to now talk about some information. As always, I do my research before my shows, and I'm going to share with you some information that I pulled from the web that supports holistic health care for pets. And this research is based on an interview that was hosted by Dr. Becker with Dr. Barbara Royal. And the first question he asks is, why we need holistic and integrative medicine for pets? Dr. Barbara Royal responded that medicine in general, for humans and animals, does not complete a doctor's education in a holistic way. MDs and DVMs, which means doctors of veterinarian science and veterinary medicine, learn a lot about surgery, a lot about medications, a lot about disease, but they don't learn about the causes of health. Dr. Royal believes integrative medicine helps practitioners focus on supporting health as a first priority rather than focusing single-mindedly on treating disease once it develops. And this is something that a lot of vets as well as allopathic medical doctors do not focus on. Veterinary students were not taught the concept of wellness. The subject was never mentioned. They weren't taught how to assist the bodies of animals to thrive and maintain wellness. Instead, they were taught only how to treat disease. And I hyphenate the word, which means the body is not at ease, which is the cause with all veterinary students. A holistic integrative approach to healing is really just common sense, according to Dr. Royal. Regarding skepticism, Dr. Royal answers skeptics who claim there are too many risks involved with holistic or alternative medicine. Ironically, from the perspective of a holistic practitioner, there are significant risks in practicing traditional or allopathic veterinary medicine. Dr. Royal says that when she sees new patients in her practice who seem a little resistant, but who are also desperate to help a beloved pet, she asks them to simply listen to what she has to say. She knows if she can make sense to them in their core and help them understand her approach to helping their pet, she has crossed the first hurdle with them. Dr. Royals goes on to say that what happens in holistic medicine tends to make sense to people once they give it some thought. It's about viewing and treating the whole body. This is a very different approach from the conventional medical approach, which is often some variation of, quote, take this drug, we don't really know how it works, good luck, end quote. And this is so true. I come from a background of allopathic medicine, having worked as a senior administrator at Harvard Medical School in Massachusetts for a number of years. I have inside information about that, and it's very true. When it comes to which approach carries greater risk, Barbara Royal believes there is much less danger involved in telling a pet parent, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help support your dog's immune system, and by doing this, this, and this, we're going to apply some foundational basics for creating health that have been in use for thousands of years. So what she does is she is not talking at her owners, at the owners of the pets. She's educating them and explaining to them and telling them what's going to be in the best interest of their beloved pets step by step. Many people find that the common sense approach and principles integrative medicine relies on really resonate with them. So after hearing from a person like Dr. Royal and Dr. Cameron Moorhead, who is our guest this evening, most people say this makes sense. And it makes sense because it's holistic and it's dealing with nature. It's having nature supplement and complement the care that the holistic vet is providing for the animal. The idea that we can help the body unlock its own ability to heal and thrive. Often, common sense principles for creating wellness are overlooked in the search for hardcore science. A lot of people in the medical profession in veterinarian science lose sight of the fact that very often the body knows what to do if given the opportunity. Dr. Royal says she often discusses these concepts, what she calls, quote, wild health, end quote, with pet owners and members of the veterinary community. Nutrition forms the foundation. Next, add a reasonable amount of exercise, the struggle that makes you strong, and don't overdo things that could cause harm. Now, Dr. Royal lists her top three health tips for pet owners from an integrative medicine perspective. She responded that as always, we want to focus on the basic foundations of health. What things can you do as a pet parent to keep your companion animal healthy? The first and most important decision involves nutrition. Dr. Royal believes, and Dr. Becker agreed, the food you offer your pet is the most important health decision of them all. I agree with this 100%, as well as the food that humans take within their system, too, that they eat. It's extremely important. If you have a carnivore in your house, a cat or a dog, you want to feed biologically appropriate food to the carnivore, which is primarily protein, a fair amount of fat, and a bit of carbohydrate. Your pet's body knows exactly what to do with a biologically appropriate diet, and it forms the foundation of good health. Dr. Royal's second tip is to focus on exercise for pets. Exercise for the body and the mind. For example, let's say you're taking your dog for a walk. Remember that smelling things along the way is how she or he gathers information and learns about the environment. And that's good exercise for the brain. You'll also want to vary the route when you walk to make it interesting for your pet. And also vary the terrain. If your dog walks exclusively on sidewalks, eventually that's the only type of geography he or she will be able to navigate. So walk him or her in locations where he or she encounters terrain that challenges her or him physically and mentally, even if it's just walking over tree roots, up a steep driveway, or across gravel, dirt, or grass. So vary the routine. It's just like with us as human beings. We become bored of repetitive exercises, repetitive walks. We get tired. It becomes monotonous after a while, and so we don't enjoy it. The same thing with your dog. The same approach applies to cats. Interact and play with your cat to encourage physical activity. Don't just let him just go from the couch to the food bowl and back to the couch. And kitties also need mental stimulation, so think about how you can enrich your cat's environment. The third health tip Dr. Royal suggests is to be careful not to over-medicate your pet. Try to avoid things that interfere with the body's ability to maintain good health. Don't over-vaccinate. Don't give medications just because they're available. Think about whether they really make sense for your pet. I believe many pet owners perhaps put too much faith, she states, in their veterinarians when it comes to medications. They don't know why they're giving the dog or cat a certain drug other than because my vet said to. She encourages clients at her practice to be very cautious about medicating their pets. Is the drug truly necessary? Is it optional? Or is it perhaps totally unnecessary? Talk with your vet about such things. And as Dr. Royal points out, always remember that you are the advocate for your little silent companion. You don't have to be controversial or difficult about it. Just say to your vet, quote, I need to have this explained to me because I'm the one who is ultimately responsible for caring for this animal, end quote. Another topic that Dr. Royal discussed with her within her interview with Dr. Becker was having unbiased pet nutrition research. Unbiased pet nutrition research gets zero funding. Nutrition is Dr. Royal's favorite topic. back in vet school, Dr. Becker, who is also a veterinarian, started raw feeding his own pets and promptly made enemies of all his professors. They say things like, you know, when you killed your dog, you're going to be sorry. Dr. Becker's nutrition training in vet school, like every other vet student's, was provided by one of the major pet food companies. Let me repeat that. Pet food companies fund a lot of the research at veterinarian schools. So, therefore, the vet will leave the school with a biased approach or opinion about the foods that your animal can eat. It's political. He asked Dr. Royal, why is it that animal nutrition often becomes a major passion for holistic veterinarians, yet most traditional vets rarely address the subject? So when you in the listening audience are in your vet's office, ask him or her if he or she is holistic or traditional, because I think you can have a combination of both. But if the person has no background in holistic veterinarian science, you may want to ask your vet to consider getting more information about it, or you may want to consider going to another vet. Because if you're not with a veterinarian who's also holistic, 9 times out of 10, your pet is being over-medicated. The same thing with going to a medical doctor for yourself. If you're going to a medical doctor who lacks information about nutrition, about holistic and homeopathic remedies, you are being overly medicated. Now, Dr. Barbara Royal explained, nutrition is just one of those things that medicine in general seems to forget about. It is the lost part of healthcare in both human and veterinary medicine. And she believes this is a huge problem. The focus is on things we can treat. What is the disease and what medication or surgery will treat it? So they're not interested in veterinary medicine, nor in allopathic medicine for humans with the cause. They're into dealing with the symptom. And that's not to criticize veterinarians or medical doctors. It's just that their training is lacking. So when you go to a traditional veterinarian, make sure that if you're interested in holistic health for your pet, that this person has that background. Dr. Royal feels much of the problem results from who is doing the research and also who is funding it. Profit-making enterprises like pet food companies and drug manufacturers are not going to conduct or pay for research into things that will not improve their bottom line. Unfortunately, companies will fund studies and public relations campaigns to challenge consumer trends that could potentially hurt their bottom line. The backlash that holistic vets have seen against raw diets for pets and homeopathy are recent examples. The results of this type of research are typically misleading, essentially worthless in terms of their scientific value, and a waste of financial resources. The cost of one double-blind, placebo-controlled study is around $1 million. So anything that you see out in terms of advertising, in terms of commercials that tell you that raw food diets for animals are not healthy, those commercials are being backed by pet food companies that are feeding your pets or producing foods for your pets that are really unhealthy. So just make sure that you understand that in terms of all kinds of medicine, veterinarian science and allopathic medicine for humans, that it's a money-making business. So it's incumbent upon each of us to take our health into our own hands as well as the health of our pets into our own hands and not blame the veterinarian or blame the medical doctor if he or she does not have all the information that you desire. It is incumbent upon us to take charge of our own health and the health of those whom we love. One goal for Dr. Royal is to raise independent funding for nutrition and other forms of complementary and alternative veterinary medicine research. Funding is the biggest challenge for the holistic and integrated veterinary community. And it is one of the things that the AHVM Foundation is focused on. The foundation's goal through its ongoing, quote, Be One in a Million, end quote, campaign is to develop a huge war chest of funds to help set up integrative medicine educational programs in veterinary schools and pay for independent studies to develop scientific evidence of the value of complementary and alternative veterinary therapies. Once the funding is available, the foundation will be able to support things like scientific studies into, as an example, the safety of raw food versus kibble, or the health benefits of raw food versus kibble. Of course, most holistic veterinarians are well aware of the value of raw diets for pets. As Dr. Royal puts it, I've been watching raw food feed animals into health for 15 years. And raw food means you go to the to the farmer's market. Like here in the Great Atlanta, Georgia area, we have a huge farmer's market. We have several of them. And they have grain-fed meats that have not been shot up with antibiotics or chemicals, and the animals eat grass as opposed to being housed in warehouses, where chickens are housed in warehouses where they don't see the light of day, or animals are eating roadkill, because a lot of the cows and chickens are eating recycled dogs and cats. So when you eat that food, that's what you're eating. Whereas with a lot of the farmers markets, they get their meats from places and from farmers who are organic in a lot of cases, and also who do not feed their animals roadkill. They feed the animals natural grasses and animal feed, things that are holistic and natural. So it's a big difference. And so then when those animals are killed, then holistic people who feed the animals holistic diets go to the farmer's market, and they give the animals raw chicken instead of canned dog food or cat food, raw turkey. And the research has shown that when you feed your animals raw meats, especially from the beginning when they're babies, kittens or dogs or whatever, that they don't have the diseases that other animals do that are fed commercial dog food or cat food, and especially low-grade commercial dog food and cat food. Most of the dog and cat foods that you see in the supermarkets are low grade and are the causes for a lot of health problems within animals. So Dr. Royal makes the point that one of the most important features of a carnivorous diet is that it should be anti-inflammatory. A major problem for animals with health problems is underlying inflammation, and this is for humans as well. When you feed your pet nutrition, his body knows what to do with it. You reduce or eliminate the inflammatory response that occurs when a body ingests food it does not know how to process. Dr. Royal lists corn and wheat. Let me repeat this. Dr. Royal lists corn and wheat as the top two foods she eliminates from her patients' diets because they are unfamiliar ingredients to an animal's body. So corn and wheat are causing a lot of problems. I see dog foods and cat foods from some of these celebrities that have corn and wheat in them. So just because a celebrity's face is on the package does not mean that you should buy it, because corn and wheat ingredients are inflammatory and they cause problems. These two foods also cause problems for humans, and we're finding out more about that. And Monsanto is now genetically modifying corn. So a lot of the corn that you're eating is not even real corn. And that's a well-known fact. For those of you who want to find out more about that, go online and do the research with Monsanto, which is a cotton company that's gotten now into the business of genetically modifying our food. But anyway, Barbara goes on to mention the problem of ingredients that are not listed on pet food labels because they are byproducts of commercial pet food processing methods. For example, the high heat processing used to manufacture dry pet food creates heterocyclic amines and acrylamides, acrylamides, which are potent carcinogens. So the processing that it requires to make some of the foods are carcinogens, which means that they are toxic. Pet owners do not realize kibble contains glycotoxins, which can create massive inflammation. They think they're buying a very healthy kibble, but while the ingredients may have been of decent quality in their original form, the extreme processing of the kibble creates carcinogenic substances in the finished product. And Dr. Royal also talks about the lack of moisture content in kibble, which results in clinical dehydration in dogs, and especially cats. So if you have an older pet, or one with kidney disease, for example, the lack of moisture in the kibble will eventually cause problems. And Dr. Becker has discussed this in his articles, and he says long-term dehydration inevitably results in organ degeneration. Canned foods are preferable to kibble, but the ingredients in these diets are still dead and enzyme deficient. Enzymes play an important role in systemic health and managing inflammation. And as Dr. Royal reminds us, so do probiotics, which are friendly bacteria. So, Dr. Royal is a strong advocate of raising funds for the AHVM Foundation so that people can enhance their knowledge, so veterinary students and veterinarians can enhance their knowledge base for the practice of integrative and holistic medicine. She stated that it's really all about getting information into the hands of the veterinary community, pet owners, and other interested parties. For example, in human medicine, there are huge hospital centers like the Mayo Clinic and the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center, and these facilities fund large studies, and the findings get out to the general population in one form or another. In veterinary medicine, there is no equivalent. Vets practice in individual small clinics and hospitals, and while they are all working very hard to help their patients, they are operating independently rather than collaboratively. So unlike in human medicine, there is no larger infrastructure that conducts research and publishes results for the benefit of the veterinary and pet owner communities. So Dr. Royal sees the role of the AHVM Foundation as providing that infrastructure so people have a resource to fund research and disseminate information. The theme of the AHVM Foundation's Be One in a Million fundraising campaign is advancing research and education in holistic veterinary medicine. The foundation hopes to not only raise money for research, but also to help veterinary students further their education, and to help established veterinarians receive the additional skills and knowledge they need to incorporate integrative medicine into their practices. So, after this commercial break, I will bring on our esteemed guest, Dr. Cameron Moorhead, who is one of those vets who does incorporate holistic practices within his practice of veterinary medicine. So stay tuned.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back. This is Professor Jamila Franklin. This evening we have the wonderful opportunity to listen to Dr. Cameron Moorhead, a renowned veterinarian located in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And tonight's topic is holistic health care for pets. Dr. Moorhead is the wonderful vet for my family, for my furry family, my one dog, Brandy, and my three cats, Aisha, Makiba, and Nia. And they have had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful service provided by Dr. Moorhead and his very compassionate staff. I just love his office and his staff. They're just so compassionate and very, very thorough and very knowledgeable. And I was very impressed with Dr. Moorhead's skills because I'm a holistic health practitioner. So when I found out about him through a very close friend of mine and then had the opportunity to have him work on my animals and see them bounce back, I was just so impressed. So I wanted to have him have the opportunity to share with people in the audience, the listening audience, his skills. He's one of, I think, seven vets in the country that practices nutrition response technique and some other holistic services. So for those of you who live in the greater Georgia area, you are very, very privileged to have the opportunity to have his staff see you, see your pets, and work with you. And not only does he work with animals, but he also is able to provide consultation and provide services for humans as well, as I mentioned with Dr. Royal. He's done studies that will enhance the health of human beings as well as animals. So I want to give you his background information. Dr. Moorhead graduated from Tuskegee University School of Veterinary Medicine in 1988. He established Main Street Veterinarians of Stone Mountain, Georgia in January 1995. He operates a full veterinary practice including grooming, boarding, surgery, x-rays, traditional and alternative medicine. Dr. Moorhead started alternative medicine in 1998 utilizing CRA, which is contact reflex analysis. He received his Master's of Nutrition Response Testing in March 2008. He practices AACT, which is Advanced Allergy Clearing Technique, VOM, which is Veterinary Orthopedic Manipulation, NRT, which is Nutrition Response Testing, utilizing Advanced Applied Kinesiology and Muscle Testing. And he is trained in advanced NRT, which is nutrition response testing, for the help of pets and humans as well. So this evening he will discuss natural holistic remedies for animals as well as for people. And we encourage you to call in to 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And as I mentioned before, Dr. Moorhead can give you information not only about the health care for your pets, but also about you, because a lot of people need information, holistic information, about how to improve their health as well. So he does energy testing for humans as well as pets. Good evening, Dr. Moorhead. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Professor Franklin. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, I am so honored to have you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you very well. Thank you. I'm very, very honored to have you as the only guest this evening on our show. So I gave a lot of detailed information at the beginning of the show about the need and the direction of veterinary medicine. There's a push now for people like yourself, from people like yourself, to have other vets become more aware and interested in practicing holistic methods and incorporating those within their allopathic practices. So I want you to tell us, the listening audience, because I know something about your background, but the listening audience, how you became interested in veterinary medicine and also holistic veterinary medicine.
Okay. Well, I always had pets growing up, ever since the age of probably about 4. And so we grew up with dogs and cats. My mother loved dogs and cats. My father tolerated them and made sure they were fed. But as a result, we love dogs and cats. So around the age of 14, my dad went to, well, he went to Hampton Institute back then, but he went to undergrad with a gentleman that eventually became a veterinarian. And this gentleman moved to North Dakota. So when I started to express a lot of interest in, you know, having pets and taking care of pets, my father called this gentleman and asked if I could go up to North Dakota for 2 or 3 weeks and spend time with him in his practice. And the gentleman said, sure, send him on up. So I came on up. This was the summer of 1974, which was quite a while ago. But when I got there, a lot of veterinarians up there, they practice large and small animals. It's mm-hmm. not just like here in the city. I think most of the vets are going to practice just strictly dogs and cats or exotics. But in the more rural areas, those veterinarians practice large and small animals. So I got to not only see what he did as far as treating dogs and cats, I got to go out on ambulatory calls to see him deliver calves and take care of large animals and, you know, deal with the people and travel around the, you know, the several areas of the state. And once I got exposed to that, I was hooked. It's like, I don't want to do anything else, except for at the time, of course, I was involved in basketball activities. So, of course, you think about going pro.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How many of us are that privileged unless you're, you know, LeBron James or somebody? But that's when I got the bug, so to speak, that I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Wow, okay. So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in the South or did you grow up in the Midwest? Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Houston, and from birth to the age of 4, we lived in Houston. From Houston, we moved to Talladega, Alabama. As my mom taught at a high school there. And then from there, around 67 or 68, we moved to Hampton, and both my parents were college professors at Hampton Institute. My dad actually was a basketball coach at Hampton at that time. So,
okay.
And then from there, we moved over to Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I finished, you know, when I went to high school and finished high school in 78.
Okay.
So at that point, I was playing basketball, high school basketball, but I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I knew that Tuskegee, it was Institute back then, I knew that Tuskegee had a veterinary school, and I also wanted to still play basketball. So,
mm-hmm.
Family members, they sometimes want you to stay close to them when you go to college.
Right.
But I really wanted to be a veterinarian. So I went to veterinary school. I went to undergrad at Tuskegee, and then I walked on to the basketball team. So I was able to do both, play basketball and study to eventually get into vet school.
Okay. So did you go to vet school at Tuskegee as well?
Right.
Okay.
I went to undergrad at Tuskegee, and then I went to vet school right after that.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I had had mentioned earlier, so I was assuming that. So that's wonderful. So you came from a background of compassionate care for animals, primarily from your mom. Your dad, like you said, just tolerated them. And then you had the wonderful experience of going out to North Dakota to experience the firsthand as a teenager. You had hands-on experience, which is good, because sometimes people think about medicine, and until they get in there and experience it firsthand, they have this romantic idea of what medicine is. And I would want to dispel with the misinformation that some people may have, which is that veterinarian schools are easier to get into than medical schools. It's the complete opposite. There are far less veterinary schools than there are medical schools, and it's far more competitive to get into a veterinary school than it is to get into a medical school. As a matter of fact, because I was a senior administrator at Harvard Medical School for a number of years, and I was in charge of minority affairs, and some of my students would come in because they had originally, I've had a couple, had originally thought about veterinary medicine, but they couldn't get in. So then they started looking at medicine for humans. So it's very competitive to get into veterinary school. So I applaud you and commend you, because that is not a small feat. It's very, very competitive. And so what led you from the path of, because I know when you were going to school, holistic medicine wasn't even on the frontier for humans, much less animals. What inspired you or motivated you to think about holistic health care for pets?
Well, I'm going to answer that, but I'm also going to piggyback on what you said a few minutes ago about getting into vet school and, you know, the difficulties in it. It's an interesting fact that I tell people that Alabama is the only state that has more than one vet school, which is two. All the other states either have one or none. There's only 29 vet schools in the whole United States.
Wow.
So it's difficult to get into. But anyway, to answer your question, once I got out of vet school, I worked at the Atlanta Humane Society for 3 years, and so I got a lot of hands-on experience, but I wanted to get away from that because it was tough with, you know, the euthanasias and things like that. Saw a lot of animal cruelty at that place, and so. But when I got away from there, and don't get me wrong, I had a valuable experience there. I began to work other places, and it started to interest me in seeing animals get better.
Mm-hmm.
Not just doing shots or doing spays and neuters. You know, you can kind of do that in your sleep after a while. But I found myself being challenged when a pet came in and no one could figure out what was going on with the pet. So I enjoyed those types of cases because it made you go back to the books and, you know, come up with your rule outs and what do you do to, you know, to treat this condition. So, you know, I got some satisfaction out of that. But then right around, I would say, 96, 97, I had a medical condition, and I didn't want to go to the medical doctor. And a friend of mine directed me to a chiropractor that was doing, at the time, he was doing nutrition work. And this person convinced me to, go to this chiropractor, and because she felt like he could help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind saying it, but my wife at the time and I were having problems conceiving.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to go the expensive, you know, fertility drugs and fertility tests, and I know that many times cost thousands and thousands of dollars.
It's very true.
So I went to this gentleman. They call him Dr. Mark.
Dr. Mark Armstrong.
No, his name is Mark DeAndre.
Oh, okay.
But they call him Dr. Mark.
Okay.
Very, very excellent chiropractor. And so he introduced me to this technique, this muscle response, muscle testing technique, where you hold your arm out and he puts pressure on that muscle,
mm-hmm.
and then he contacts certain reflexes on the surface of your body and determines what reflexes show up as going weak according to the weakness of the arm when you touch that reflex. And then he would take a supplement and he would put it back up to that reflex, and then that reflex would get strong. All of a sudden, you could hold your arm up with no problem. And so you should have seen the first day that he did that with me. We were wrestling because I was putting all my muscle into holding that arm up, but I couldn't hold the arm up when he contacted a certain reflex along the surface of the body. So after that, he gave me, and these were all natural, what's called whole food supplements. He sent me home. He said, take these, a certain dosage of every one, take these every 24 hours, and come back. I'm going to retest you, and we'll see if those reflexes get strong again. And I'd come back every week or every 2 weeks, and that reflex would get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the doctor and had the test for men to determine if they are, you know, how their fertility, you know, what kind of fertility they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, this was totally an objective test. Because the count before and after, and this took about 2 to 3 months, but the tests before and after were remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
It was like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing was, you would think that a doctor, an allopathic doctor, like you mentioned earlier, if you're having problems conceiving, and I'm not going to place them all in, you know, one category, because, you know, that's just not the right thing to do. But if you're practicing allopathic medicine or diagnosis, you're going to look at that area that's down there, you know, dealing with the reproductive area. You're not going to start thinking about, does the thyroid have something to do with this? Do the adrenal glands have something to do with this condition?
Mm-hmm.
Does the liver, do any of these things have something to do with it? And he looked at the whole body, not just, you know, those one or two areas. And when I said, wow, this is really incredible, and he said, I'll never forget this, he said, do you know that you could do this for animals?
This is Dr. Mark.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I said, what? How can I do it for animals? He said, what you use is an indirect tester. You have someone holding in contact with the pet, and the human is using their muscle response, and you are contacting reflexes along the surface of the pet, and you're judging what's going on with the pet by the strength or weakness of that indicator muscle on the human.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. So at that point, I just started going to different seminars. Back then it was CRA, contact reflex analysis. So I would go to, you know, every seminar that came to Atlanta, and they would, and it, this was human. I mean, it wasn't an animal. But I would take what I learned, because animals and humans have the same, they have the same anatomy. The major difference is, you know, humans walk upright and animals walk on all fours, but dogs and cats and humans, they have the same anatomy that's basically in the same positions in the body. So I would take what I learned on the weekend, and I would go back and, you know, this is before I started introducing it to clients. I would just, on clients, on pets that got dropped off, I would just touch the pet, have a human in contact with the pet, and just, I would just practice and see what kind of responses I got. And it worked, and I gradually started introducing some nutrition into the practice, but I was still doing, the conventional, you know, conventional treatments, antibiotics and vaccinations, and I was still doing that, but I would have the clients, I would introduce a little bit of cardiac support, like, you know, a pet that came in with a heart condition, I might use some digoxin or some diuretics, but I would recommend to the client, this is what I would like for you to give Fifi, which would be, you know, just a little bit of a cardiovascular support. So I would add that to the program. And a lot of times the pets would do really, they would do really, really well. And it was like,
so these are homeopathic things that you were introducing gradually to your clientele?
Well,
whole food.
These were mainly whole food supplements, which are supplements that are made very naturally in perfect balance with just the right micronutrients that the body can take in. It's like natural biological replacement parts.
Wow.
With the body being organic, a lot of these supplements were organic, and if they were created so that the body could incorporated into its own tissue.
Let me ask you a question, because this is very fascinating. For those of you in the listening audience who would like to participate or ask Dr. Moorhead any questions, not only about your pets, but about your own health, feel free to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So, Dr. Moorhead, this is so fascinating. So the whole foods that you're introducing, which are in the form of, that look like vitamins, because my animals were taking some of the whole foods that you recommended for them, were they whole foods for people that you were giving to the animals, or were they specifically designed in the beginning for people?
These supplements were and are specifically designed for people. There's a gentleman that founded a company up in Wisconsin. His name was Royal Lee, who was a dentist. And being a dentist, he was a dentist and an inventor. The guy was a genius. And being a dentist, he realized that as time went on, he was seeing more and more decay early in people's teeth and gums. And he attributed that to what we call the, the foods of commerce were starting to come in the 20s and 30s, where food was starting to be mass produced. And it wasn't like in the 1800s and early 1900s, where food was grown on competent, healthy soils and, you know, unadulterated seeds. And there got to be a time in this country where, you know, they were making foods in factories so they could sell a lot of it for cheap. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but he realized that this was causing people, particularly in their mouths, to start to, they didn't have healthy mouths, they didn't have healthy dental, their dental arches, their dental structures in the bones, they were starting to become malformed quicker. And he attributed this to the food supply was getting poorer. So he created a company, and he developed different supplements from organic soils and you know, animals that were raised properly. He came up with a company that manufactured the whole food supplements that had the ingredients that were becoming missing in the American diet. So these supplements have been taken to, you know, also to help the body because the bodies were not being nourished like they used to be. And so now this company, it's a wonderful company in Wisconsin, they create and sell these supplements to healthcare professionals all throughout the country, actually all throughout the world. And because it's for bodies, it also works really good for animal bodies.
Hmm.
And that's what, yeah, and that's what I, you know, I got an account with them, and I was, you know, there were, like, for instance, there's Cardio Plus and, you know, Cardiotropin, like Brandy's on.
Mm-hmm.
These supplements work, they're like, it's called clinical nutrition. So this isn't just vitamins. People say, oh, yeah, Dr. Moorhead just gave me some vitamins and minerals. Yeah, there are vitamins and minerals in it, but these supplements clinically improve different organs and different glands and different body parts if they're taken, of course, with the diet. And you spoke very eloquently earlier about how poor the diets of not just people but pets have become,
mm-hmm.
and that's why the need for supplements. If the diets were like they were in the early 1900s, there wouldn't be that need for, you know, the different supplements. But because real food is not available, or it's very difficult to find real food, hence the need for supplementation for diet. But anyway, that's what I started to do. I started to continue with my conventional, but I also said, well, let me just add this. Well, let me recommend this for this pet. So not only are we, of course, I'm still handling symptoms, but we're also starting to get to the root of why did this pet get to this point in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I can speak about how, with your guidance, with my rescue dog, Brandy, because I got her 2 years ago, she was 6 years old. She was in pretty good health. But, I mean, I've had to... She had an unfortunate incident about 2 months ago with a copperhead snake. And for the listening audience, for members who are not from Georgia, copperhead snakes are very poisonous. And this particular snake bit her slightly underneath her eye. And I was very fortunate that I was home, and I was able to take her to the emergency clinic because your office was not open on that day, but then I brought her to you the following day. And even though her neck is swollen or whatever, in less than 2 months, all the inflammation was gone because of the program that you had on initially in terms of her nutrition program, in terms of her food that you put her on. And in addition to that, the supplementation was phenomenal. It worked. So So I would encourage anyone in the listening audience, even if you do not live in the Georgia area, to get in touch with Dr. Moorhead, and we will give you his contact information, which is also on the website later on in the program. But it's important because I think there's a cliche to say something like being penny wise will make you pound foolish. People buy cheap food in the supermarket because they don't want to spend the money, and then their pets end up in the doctor's office, just like buying cheap food for yourself. If you buy cheap food, the pet's quality of life is going to deteriorate. And so then what happens is that the problem becomes exacerbated. You have an animal whose immune system is highly compromised. So then when they bring the animals to you and you suggest that they change their diet and then get on to supplementation, some people balk at that. But then they end up spending twice the amount of money because you end up having to double your efforts to get the pet back on board and have the pet's health become in alignment, in a state of health. So I think that what the listening audience really needs to hear is that between eating raw foods that we will talk about later on, that you can get from the farmer's market, and a nutritionally balanced diet that Dr. Moorhead would recommend, or another holistic vet if you're not living within the Georgia area, please take that seriously. Because I know people think, oh, it costs too much. I hear that all the time, even with humans, when they say it costs too much to eat properly. I said, no, it doesn't. But if you eat nutritionally balanced foods, first of all, they're cheaper because most of them are vegetarian-based. And secondly, you're not going to be sick. It costs more if you are sick or if your pet is sick. You're going to spend the dollars that you so-called saved by buying cheap products and cheap foods. You're going to spend the money, and you're going to double it. And then what you've done is you've compromised your health, and you've compromised the health of your pets. So this society is always having people think about things in a very interesting way. We would buy things, that, you know, cars or clothing or whatever, that cost a lot of money. But the things that are going to give us a greater quality of life for ourselves and for our pets, we want to compromise on that. So this program is to really have people really see how valuable they are in terms of their own health care and their lives, and that you're worth quality food. You're worth quality supplementation. Your animal is worth quality food and quality supplementation. So let's just look at things very differently, because rims on cars for men and shoes with the red bottoms for women and getting your hair done and your nails done are not essential things that need to happen within our lives. What is essential is having quality nutrition within your body, because that will have you have not only a longer life, but a higher quality of life. So Dr. Moorhead has experienced some things himself, and he's sharing his personal experiences with people, so we can just change our orientation. Okay, Dr. Moorhead, I want you to...
Yes, yes.
Complete what you had to say. We have a short commercial break, and we will be back in 1 second.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace Be Still, a natural, holistic aromatherapy blend, is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Welcome back. You're now listening to a very, very educational and inspirational show called Holistic Healthcare for Pets, and it is one of the shows that we're having here on Higher Consciousness. And our esteemed guest this evening is Dr. Cameron Moorhead, who is a renowned veterinarian in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area. So if you're within three states, if you're in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, the Carolinas, you can drive to see Dr. Moorhead. He has clients throughout the state and and probably other states too. I know that when I go to his office, I see counties from all around. Even though I live in DeKalb County, I see counties in the outlying areas because people know how phenomenal his expertise and skills are, and he's highly respected in the field of veterinary medicine. So feel free to give us a call, 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. I see people on the board now. So if you would like to call, press 1. I mean, if you would like to ask Dr. Moorhead a question, not only about the health care for your pet, but for yourself as well. And I'm sorry, Dr. Moorhead, you were about to say something before we had our commercial break.
No, I was just going to piggyback on your good point before the break. And I try to stress this to people. Of course, in my profession, you stressed it to the owner, is that nutrition, you have to look at nutrition as an investment. It's an investment in your health, and it's an investment in your pet's health. So the better we are, what we eat. And so, like you were saying, I mean, you can have a nice big house and a great car or great clothes or whatever, but if you don't have your health, what do you have?
Right.
A big part of that is, the proper nutrition, like you said before I came on, the proper exercise, and also the proper rest. The body has
right.
to rest to be able to regenerate for the following day or after exercise or something like that. So, and you don't have to. People think it's expensive to eat healthy, and yeah, I realize that organic. It's going to cost more because it costs more to be organic in this day and time. But you can start by, you know, just not reaching for the chips or not reaching mm-hmm. for the, you know, not reaching for the bread or the wheat flour pasta and stuff like that, and start reaching for, you know, baked chicken or roasted chicken and leafy green vegetables, you know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be organic in the beginning. Just making small improvements like that, and your body's going to start operating better. So,
and we find the money's for what we want, because when in my practice, because I have a private practice, and people tell me, "Oh, I can't afford," but then I see the women in the nail shops and getting their hair done, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then I tell them, I said, you look very pretty in a coffin. So what we're doing in terms of what you're talking about in terms of nutrition and what I talk about in terms of their emotional health and their spiritual health and all of that and energy medicine, that's going to keep you on the planet, not only on the planet longer, but you will have a higher quality of life. And the same thing for your pets. So because people who have pets will say to you, because I'm the owner of three cats and a dog, and have owned pets most of my life, they're like family members. And for those people who don't have pets, they don't understand it. Why is she crying over a dog, or why is he crying over a cat? Because they are like family members. And if you have a family member in your family, it's incumbent upon us as the humans with the rational cognitive brains to do things that are in the best interest of our children. Human children as well as pet children, because they don't have the ability to go in there to make purchases for things that are in their best interest. So it's incumbent upon us, and not to get so convinced with celebrity endorsements, because I see celebrity faces on different animal products. Read the ingredients, not only for your pets, but for your food. Corn and wheat, as Dr. Royal has said, those things cannot be tolerated by animals. They're highly inflammatory. So make sure that when you're looking at the ingredients, and for humans too, we're now finding out that a lot of people are seeing that they are allergic to gluten, which is a main ingredient in wheat. We have a caller. Let's see. So just think about this when you are definitely making purchases. Greetings, caller. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Do you have a question for Dr. Moorhead?
Well, actually, no. He is I'm a client, and I kind of wanted to call in. What a great show you guys are doing tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Dr. Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy. I know Sandy's voice anywhere.
Yes, you do. That nasal thing going on. Dr. Moorhead has taken care of my children for many years, some that have passed and some that I still have with me. And I remember the first time that he pulled out the nutritional response testing. I actually walked out going, what the heck was that? It was a little odd. But it actually made my pets really, really healthy. Their quality of life is very good.
And I concur with you, Sandy. The same thing with me. With like I said, I had a copperhead snake bite my dog, and under regular circumstances, she would have died because the poison went immediately into her system, and her neck doubled in size in less than an hour. And within less than a month, all the inflammation was gone. Her responses were back on cue. She's healthy. He's done a lot of things with my animals, and they love him, even though they protest when they see him. They say, oh, my goodness, he was Dr. Moorhead. We like him, but he brings needles. So, but every time he works on them and gives them a program, they immediately respond. And I'm on the food program. They have the foods that he's recommended, and I bark and whatever because they don't have jobs. I said, these animals don't have jobs, and they have all these high-end needs, you know.
Right.
But it works.
Absolutely.
It works.
It does work. It does work. And I'm looking forward to, I'm gradually moving to the place that mine are off the kibble altogether. But I'm doing the raw chicken, and we're doing cruciferous vegetables and a little bit of brown rice, and I wash well to get the arsenic off of it as much as I can. But, yeah, they're doing really, really well. And as I was listening to you talk about your dog and the snake bite, it reminded me of my father. My parents are almost 80, and my dad is a vegan. My mom is a vegetarian. They are on no medications at their age. And I know, I'm really, but my dad was shot about 44 years ago, actually, and it was just a random thing. But he was in surgery for a long time, and his doctor made a comment about his health, and had he not been so healthy and had taken such good care of himself, they don't believe that he would have made it through 9 hours of surgery or would have recovered.
Wow.
And so as I listened to you talk about your dog, it made me think of that.
Wow, and that is so true. I'm a vegan, and it is so true because when you start out with a strong foundation, and that's what Dr. Moorhead has said to me. He said, because Brandy has a very good diet that he recommended and she's on, she was able to bounce back. And she didn't have a long recovery period with anything that she has. When she had the hysterectomy, you know, when I had a spayed, she bounced back. Everything that she's had, she bounces back. And my cats, too. My cats are about 13 years old. And Dr. Moorhead said, how old are your cats? And I told him, he said, they look really good. And it's because I've taken very good care of them. And then when I came to his office, with the care that he provided, and his staff is excellent, and with the staff assistance, and I follow. He tells me, you follow everything, and I do. If you tell me to, if I'm buying this and paying money for it, they're going to follow it, no matter how much they may protest in the beginning. They are going to take all of those food supplements until they are nutritionally sound, and I see their eyes, because they had two dogs previously that died. One was my late husband's dog, and one was my late mother's dog, and I took their dogs after he died, and we didn't have them on this program, and I see a big difference. My other dogs had cataracts, they had arthritis. Brandy has the energy of a puppy, and she's 8 years old.
Yeah. That's great.
I would say, here's the interesting thing, when because both you and Sandy have pets that are on nutritional programs, the body is going to sometimes get off track or out of whack. But I noticed through doing this work that it's easy to get them back to their optimal state of health if they've been on nutritional programs for a while. The Sandy's pet has had some liver, some elevated liver issues for a while, but to look at her, you would say, why, this pet doesn't have elevated liver. This pet looks great. And I think finally.
And she's 12.
And she looks like she's about 4 or 5. And that's because Sandy has her on a good diet, and we provide some supplements, and they don't, these pets don't need drugs. You know?
Exactly. Yep, that's true. And I work in a very, all of my coworkers, we love our animals. We love our pets, and people bring them to work for the day. And sometimes I listen to the stories about, oh, my dog has allergies and they're on lots of medications, or my dog has this problem or this problem and they're on tons of medications. And I, you know, and you have to be careful about what you say. But what I know is that the medications that those animals are taking are causing lots of other problems.
That's
right.
Like
you're going to have to deal with at some point. Exactly.
It's just like human beings.
I mean, I trust Dr. Moorhead more than I do my doctor. Honestly.
He's phenomenal. It's like with human beings, they take medication for something, not understanding that it's going to cause a problem with another organ in the body, as opposed to getting to the root of the problem. You know, because we're taught to oversimplify things and to take the path of least resistance, which is the quick way. People eat McDonald's, fast foods. Everyone wants things just fast. So I said medicines medicate. They don't heal or solve any problem. They're medicating and making you medicated, and you feel like it's done. But once you take them off the medicine, the problem returns. So you have to get to the root cause of what the problem is. And then, the supplements do that, the nutritional diets do that. They address the problem at its root.
Right. But, you know, here's the interesting thing that I see, too, is that the pets like you and Sandy have, Ms. Franklin, as they get older, they don't have arthritis, and they don't get weird cancers, and they don't get, diabetes and things like that because they've been on nutritional programs. They don't get those because, let's face it, those are symptoms of something going on. So, when the body is healthy and when it's being taken care of, it knows how to not get those types of things. So, I see that when people bring their pets to me, their older pets, and they've been diagnosed with arthritis and things like that. I say, you know what? We very rarely see arthritis. And even if it is arthritis, arthritis is, by definition, inflammation of the joint. So why is the joint inflamed? Arthritis is just saying the joints are inflamed, but why? So a lot of times, most times, we can figure out why is that joint inflamed. Just because the pet's older doesn't mean it has to have inflamed joints.
Right.
So, we're able to, help the body help itself, and then it can handle things like arthritis and things like that.
But I think you mentioned a very important point, because with humans, too, people say, well, I'm a certain age, so, I'm going to have aches and pains. Or I'm a certain age, so my mother had arthritis, so I will have arthritis. They just accept these diagnoses. When you look at people in other countries, in the continent of Africa, in Asia, and in Europe, and in Canada, they don't have the diseases that people in this country have, and they don't accept it. In other countries, they don't accept it. I see so many people who are elderly and even younger people who are having operations for joints, and they just assume that that's normal. And I say everything is diet-related. Most of these things are due to poor nutrition that people are eating. They're eating foods that have no nutritional value. They're giving their pets foods that have no nutritional value. So you're eating empty calories, so the pets are fat and the owners are fat.
Yep.
As a result, it's because they're eating empty calories, so the animal is constantly hungry because it's not getting fed. And it's overeating and it's not being walked. The same thing with humans. You know, humans tend to overeat because they're feeling hungry all the time, because they're not eating things that are nutritionally balanced. So I wanted to ask you, Dr. Moorhead, a question, too, because with Brandy, I'm now wanting her to eat raw. My other animals that belong to my late husband and to my mom, I got them to eat. They love raw chicken. I can't get her to eat raw. I've tried. She looks at me like I'm crazy. I said, you're the only dog on the planet that won't eat raw. She eats the foods that you told me about, the high-end, very good canned foods. How did I get her to eat raw? I've tried to mix it in, and she'll just look at me.
But you know what?
I don't know how to do that.
But your,
I'm sorry?
Your dilemma is not that unusual. There are many, I don't know if I can say the majority, but there are many owners that have expressed that problem. And because these pets, here's the interesting thing, not only have these pets in the present, they're rejecting it, but their parents rejected it because they grew up on the kibble diet, and then the generations before that have grown up on the kibble diet. And I think, and this is just my theory, I don't have any studies or anything to say this, but I think as generations have gone on into the being inundated with the kibble diet, I'm not even sure if today's pet can handle what I call the jet fuel. Raw food is the jet fuel. I'm not sure if pets today can handle that. That's why I tell people, okay, if you don't want to do the raw diet, or if they don't want to do the raw diet, cook it until they'll eat it, and then you can gradually, cook it a little bit less, and then they'll still be eating it.
Okay.
So,
Professor Franklin?
Uh-huh.
Professor Franklin, hi. I just wanted to interject one thing. I did have a little bit of trouble with that with one of mine, and I did what he is talking about. I would take, a chicken thigh, and put it in a little boiling water and cook it a little on the outside, and the dog loved the flavor, but it was raw on the inside. So little by little, I moved away from the cooking, and that kind of worked. And I'm going to hang up and let you guys do your show, but thank you so much, Dr. Moorhead, and thank you guys for the great show tonight.
Thank you for calling, Sandy.
Well, thank you so much,
you
Sandy.
Soon.
I really appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Have a good
thank
evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, because with my two previous dogs, and I didn't raise them from puppies, because I said the first one was my husband's dog, and then the other one was my mom's dog, and I inherited them. My husband's dog, I had her with us while he was living, but then once he died, I inherited them. But when I put them on the raw food, they didn't have a problem. They just, it's like I've been feeding them raw food all their lives.
Yeah,
they had health problems, but they had health problems because, I inherited them, and they had, some interesting diets. But because my mom used to cook for her dog. My godmother, who is from Tennessee, used to go and visit my mom, because my mom, I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, and she would go into my mom's house, and she would say, "Miss Katie, what are you cooking?" She said, "Oh, I'm just cooking a little something for Gracie." That was my mom's dog. She would have broccoli and cheese casserole, and she, because my mom was petite, and my godmother would say, she would tell her husband, "Miss Katie is so little, but she's just buying so much food every time they would take her to go shopping." She would have bags and bags of chicken. And so she finally found out that my mother was roasting and boiling chicken for Gracie. The dog ate she ate better than most people. She had all kinds of different kinds of varieties of food. And so maybe that's why she didn't have a problem when I put her on the raw before she died. But with Brandy, I've tried. Brandy looks at me like, you have lost your mind. You know that I don't eat raw. She looks at me like, I'm not eating that. So I'm like, you're the only dog I know that won't eat raw food. But what Sandy said makes sense.
But you'll eat the cook, right?
Oh, yeah. Cook. Oh, yeah, she'll eat the cook. Okay. Yeah, because I think the previous owner probably gave her Burger King and all the other kind of carcinogenic stuff because he was overweight and whatever. And I got her because he could no longer afford to keep her. But he had an awful diet, so she would eat the cooked, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think the other thing to consider, too, is if you have to cook it as little as possible. But remember, too, she's getting some supplements that will supplement what she may be missing by you cooking something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing to consider.
Well, with cooking, the only thing that she should have, because I don't do grains because, you know, she's allergic to all of that. So just cook the protein. She would never see pork because I'm not into pork. I'm not into mm-hmm. Well, I'm vegan, so I don't eat any of that anyway, but I wouldn't give my dog pork because of the worms and all that. But so do you suggest for people who are listening, if they want to introduce their dogs and or cats to raw diets, do they also put in their vegetables, cook vegetables with it, or not?
Yeah.
I know grains should not be included because grains are inflammatory, but so raw vegetables, you know, minimally cook the vegetables?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would, for pets that are used to eating kibble, I always tell people, go ahead and give them some of your food. You know, of course, I'm assuming that they're not doing, you know, the fast food stuff and that kind of thing. But I always tell them to go ahead and if they'll eat, and this really goes for cancer patients and, like you said, allergy patients for its anti-inflammatory effect, I really recommend leafy green vegetables to be cooked in with the, or put in with, or mixed in with the, you know, with the meat source, whether it be
okay.
Ground, they can ground it. You know, ground turkey, ground chicken. The cruciferous vegetables, which include broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, spinach, all those leafy green vegetables, just for the vitamin, mineral, and liver detoxing. You know, liver detoxing properties of those things, plus the protein.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to mix it in, you know, if they want to eat the kibble, mix in the kibble with it for a while just to get them used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they can wean them off the kibble because I think, I think through the generations of these diets that have been inflicted upon pets, I think they have a certain amount of addiction to kibble. So they're like, I'm eating my kibble.
That's true.
Yeah.
Those people who don't know what kibble is, can you tell them what kibble is? Because they're like, kibble, I don't give my... Because that's also the name of a dog food. But you're not talking about that company.
I'm talking about the foods that have been... they've been processed. And they're like cereal. They're like the they're processed and they're put together and they're like bits and pieces in a bag.
Okay.
They're anything that's crunchy and in a bag and you could sit it out on a counter and 2 years later it hasn't decomposed or anything. It's still just sitting there. It's
okay,
so
dry dog food.
Dry dog food, exactly.
Dry dog
food.
That's
what I mean by kibble. It's dry food. It usually comes in a bag.
Okay.
And it's,
What about the foods now that come in a bag that are biologically and organically balanced? You know, like the companies,
like
Arcana and Origin.
Yeah. as far as those types of foods go, they're going to be better. But once again, they're still, you know, they're still cooked and processed. But they're going to be, they're going to be, if we have to choose, and I think you have to look at taking it as gradient. And I think, like, you know, the best food for the pet would be, of course, raw, like the ancestor. They kill their meal. They ate the inside. They ate the muscle meat. That's the best thing. The next best thing would be, you know, going to the store, going to, like you said, the calf farmer's market or the butcher's, and you know, giving them that meat. And then when you start, then the next thing would be just cooking them food like you would cook your food. And then the next thing down would be one of those kibble foods that didn't have, like you said very eloquently, the no corn, the no wheat, the no other grains. The no soy, you know, the no modified corn starch byproduct. You want to choose a kibble food that doesn't have any of that in it. And we recommend a Fontana and Origin, which are made by the same company. And you know, that's a good point about the canned food probably being a little bit better than the dry food because of the, you know, the water content. So, but there are, you know, they're better. There, some foods are, some commercially prepared foods are better than others. And I would put your Origins, your Akana, some of your Taste of the Wild, your Innovas. They're just going to be better than, I'm not going to mention, you know, the others, but but, you know, always look at the first five ingredients, and you'll know, you know, you should say, well, is this something I could eat? Because you're not going to eat meat byproducts. You don't know what you're getting with meat byproducts, but it's not anything nutritious, like, I promise you.
No, you're not going to eat it knowingly. And see, this is the vegan in me, but people do eat it when they eat hot dogs. They eat all of that stuff. We have another caller on. We have another caller. Let's see. And for those of you who want to join us, call 1-818-572-8023. Hello, caller. Can you turn off your speaker, please?
We have another caller.
Because I hear the feedback. You can't hear yourself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have a question for Dr. Moorhead?
Yes, I do. I'm actually Dr. Moorhead's sister.
Oh, okay.
Monica.
Oh. Hi.
Hi, Monica. Hello, Cam.
Hey, Monica.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just good. I'm doing just fine. I'm learning a lot from this show. And I have to just reconfirm what he said, that he has such a great love of animals and taking care of them, and I've seen how his clients have just responded to him, and I'm not just saying that because he's my brother, but just because I've seen it for myself. And and so this is, and I've also experienced the nutritional the nutritional supplements that he has been talking about. And I did have a question for him about that, but also I have a roommate, Sue Harris, who my brother also knows, and she has two cats, and she wanted to ask a couple of questions of him, if it's okay. But I just wanted to ask, the one question I wanted to ask was about the process upon which these nutritions work, because I think some, as you've been talking about, a lot of people feel, and especially in this country, everything has to be fixed quickly. You know, you have an operation, everything, it has to be, you know, a quick fix. And in terms of the nutritions, I wanted to ask Cam if you know, what's the process, you know, in terms of how long should, you know, medicine, how long should these supplements be taken? Is there a time span for them to take effect? That type of thing. So I wanted to, you know, and does it depend on what the diagnosis is, but what's the usual time span for animals and people taking these important supplements?
That's a good question, Monica. Well, typically, depending on the situation, because every case is
Dr.
kind
Moorhead,
of different.
Dr. Moorhead, can you speak clearly? Because you're sounding a little faint.
Oh, okay. Is that any better?
Yeah, you may have to come off the speakerphone or something. Okay.
How about
that's
now?
Better. That's better.
Okay.
So,
okay.
That's any better?
Yeah, you may have to come off the speakerphone or something.
Okay. Is it... Do you have it on?
Should I turn off speakerphone?
I'm sorry?
I'm getting some feedback. Should I take it off speakerphone?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see how to do
okay,
that.
Okay, well, now that's better. Whatever you just did, that's better. We can hear you better.
Okay.
Okay.
So every case is different. Like, if a pet or a person comes in with cancer, then they've had some degenerative process going on. They didn't get the cancer yesterday. There's been a breakdown in the metabolic processes and, you know, all the different systems of the body to the point where the body can no longer control the cells, because cancer is just cells that are out of control of the body. I don't want to just say just, because cancers are very serious. But typically, I tell people and pets, you know, you got to give me about 3 months. 3 months mm-hmm. to, you know, we're gonna be friends for at least 3 months in cancer cases, but it's. And it's also, it's not just the supplements, because the supplements get it started, but if the person is not going to improve, and I don't mean having them have a perfect diet, because a perfect diet is a lifelong, I think that's a lifelong, you know, that's a journey, not necessarily a destination. But a lot of it is how pliant are they going to be towards improving that diet. Because there's so many things in the diet that have probably contributed to the state that the person has been in. So, but it's not, I don't think anything provides an overnight fix. And sometimes you do have to give medicine, you know, to get the keep the symptoms at bay until the nutrition's, until the diet change, until the water change, until... You know, you get them exercising a bit until those things kick in. Sometimes they have to have a little bit of medicine. But what the good thing is that when they start on the nutritions, they usually need less medicine. And then as the nutritions do their thing, they need less medicine to the point where, you know, eventually they don't need any medicine. That may be months or years down the line, but it usually... You know, usually happens. The other factors you have to consider are things like age. Pets that are 2 or 3 years old, they're just going to respond quicker than pets that are 13 or 14 years old. People who are 60 or 70 years old, they can still respond, but they're not going to respond as quick as somebody who's 20 or 25 years old. That's just... Mm-hmm. The way bodies are. But it's very rare that a body won't respond, in my observation, to nutritional diet modification and nutritional supplementation. So, did I answer your question, Monica? Hello? Is Monica still on the line? Did we lose Monica?
Hello?
I think we might have lost her.
Hello?
Yes, hello? Hold on, because I had to put my earplugs back in on. Yes, you did. Thank you. That really was. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, so
great, because I had to turn down my sound. Okay.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Hello? Okay.
Okay.
Hello? Okay, that's better.
I want to put Sue Harris on so she can ask her question.
Yes, we have about 10 minutes left, so that's fine.
Okay, hold on. She's putting the earplugs now.
Okay, but in the meantime, too, Dr. Moorhead, as we're waiting for Sue to get on the line, I think what you had mentioned before is really great, too, because throughout the process, you're constantly testing to see where the person is, and then because it's not just putting them on a program, and then you're not testing them periodically. Like you said, you have a 3-month relationship. So people who are into natural health have to understand that it requires, in the beginning, a vigilant and dedicated approach, and you come in more regularly. And then as the body improves, then you see the patient less. So you're in touch with the person more frequently, and you're monitoring the person and the animal or the animal more closely. And so because that's happened with me with my pets, you pull them off things because they didn't need to be on them. Okay, so is the person on now?
Yes.
Sue.
Hi.
Hey, Sue.
Hi, Cam. I have to say that when Cam was here, he was amazing. When my cats are pretty bright, but when he wanted to have them turn and look at him, he just made little noises, and he, especially Jasmine. She just turned and looked at him at whenever he, but he had to do particular little things. I can't get her to do that. I don't know how he does it, but whatever it is, it's a special relationship. What I wanted to ask was actually something that doesn't seem to be as much of a problem now, but when I first got her, she seemed to have a very sensitive stomach. And I did get them off the kibble very quickly. That's what they were fed at the shelter when I got them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on this cat food. It's sort of like a Cadillac of cat foods called Wellness.
Yeah.
They liked it very much. But she would throw up every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took her to the vet, and we had blood tests and everything. There was nothing that showed up. I think maybe there was a high white blood count for a while, but he didn't know what to do about it. She would get antibiotics. She would get, anti-nausea medication, and it would go away for about 3 weeks, and then it would come back. And, I mean, she didn't throw up hairballs. She threw up everything. And finally, I decided to change her diet to a different cat food, which is the Paul Newman's, which, again, it seemed to have mostly meat in it. You know, I was trying to avoid any of the grains in it. Now, that's the one I found, but it's not as rich. And since then, she's been much better. Every now and then she'll throw up, but really it's been much better. And I just wondered if the doctor never figured out what it was. I mean, he had 3 or 4 different possible diagnoses, and nothing seems to fit. But the only thing that seemed to change it was when I changed the cat food. And it was to something that isn't quite as rich, I think.
Yeah.
But Dr. Moorhead, before you answer the question, I have another call on, too, and I just wanted to let the person know that even when the show ends, people who are calling in, you can still talk to Dr. Moorhead. It just won't be on the air, so you won't hear it if you're listening via computer. So if you want to talk to Dr. Moorhead, call the number 1-818-572-8023 and press 1, and you will get a chance to speak with him, because the show will end promptly at 9, because we only have about 10 minutes left, and I have to plug in this other caller, but I just wanted to let people know that. Okay.
Okay. So can I can still answer Sue's question?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, here's the thing, Sue, and Professor Franklin mentioned this earlier in the show, is that a lot of these foods that they're making today, they're dead food, meaning that they don't have the enzymes, the necessary live enzymes in them to help the body sufficiently digest like it should. So in cats, if they're not particularly, you know, their enzyme system or their digestive system, specifically hydrochloric acid that's created in the stomach, if they're not really strong at that, then the body's going to say, oh, I don't want that, and then they're going to throw it back up. So typically if you were here, or maybe if y'all would invite me back up there, then we would do what's called muscle tests for different foods to see what foods the body is okay with, because the body will, through a muscle test and checking it's a little allergy point behind the left ear, it will tell you whether this food is okay. But I think in lieu of doing that, there are digestive enzymes that can be put in certain foods. But the best thing to do would be to trial and error different foods. I mean, I can send y'all a list of foods that we recommend that they usually test okay. The wellness usually, I mean, we have some of our patients on wellness, and they do pretty good. The thing is that the manufacturer sometimes changes the formulations. They add different things from batch to batch. So you may think you're feeding the same thing, but you buy some more cans of wellness 3 months down the line. It's really not the same as what you bought 3 months ago. So, so it's difficult, but I think it's just a matter of just trial and error. What's going to be the best food? Because cats are kind of, they're kind of sensitive anyway about stuff.
Boy, it was really incredible. It was better when I got off the wellness for her. It didn't matter. Uh-huh. He didn't care. He, But I would be interested in getting a list of supplements.
Well, I'll give you a list of foods that you can, a list of foods that you can try. And sometimes some vets believe that it's okay to, kind of rotate from time to time, just to kind of keep the system alert. And so sometimes it's a matter of just giving them still good food, but giving them alternating, different types of food. And that works sometimes.
She's definitely better now. But it was very scary because, she just wasn't digesting anything. So, I like the idea of also switching off a little bit. It can't be good to just give them the same thing every day.
Right. Was the food when she threw up, was it digested or was it undigested? Did it look like, did she throw it up right away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe an hour or so later.
Okay. Body doesn't like
it. It was like, no, that's exactly it. And it was like the entire thing. I mean, it was,
Yeah. I would just try different foods, but I'll I'll send you some foods that tend to work for some of our patients, and you can try that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank
you
so much.
Thank you so much, caller.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. We'll plug in the next caller. Hi, caller. How are you?
I'm doing well. Am I on air?
Yes, you are. You have about 3 minutes, and if I'm going to plug in the theme song, but if you need to talk to Dr. Moorhead later, can. You just stay on the phone after I plug in the theme song, because it will end in about 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm ready to go. I have two questions. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Okay, my number one question to Dr. Cameron Moorhead is this. Do you find that traditional, you know, food that comes in a package has an issue with dogs' behavior at all? And number two, for an English Mastiff that grows to be a very large dog, what do you do to keep those joints and the dog really in good health in the long run?
Well, thank you for your question, caller. This Franklin, this happens to be one of my best friends and one of my teammates at Tuskegee.
Okay.
Yes.
He couldn't disguise his voice.
Oh my goodness,
he couldn't disguise his voice.
Like, damn, absolutely, I am. Absolutely.
I would know that voice anywhere.
Awesome.
But to answer your question, yes, the food can cause behavioral problems, because some of these foods, too many of these foods have a lot of grains, a lot of high sugar content in them, corn, wheat, modified corn starch, and it can cause them to have behavioral problems, they'll use the term hyperactivity, where they're just kind of out of control. Even actually aggression can cause aggression.
Oh my goodness. This is the case with him, truly.
Yeah. So if you're gonna use a commercial food, you wanna make sure that it doesn't have the corn, doesn't have the wheat for the allergy. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure it doesn't have, and it won't. They won't say sugar, but they'll say like modified corn starch. They'll say like maltose or dextrose or things like that. You want to stay away from those particular foods, and because they do cause not only behavioral problems and inflammation, and the inflammation, then you start to talk about joint problems and inflamed joints and that kind of thing. So we're kind of talking about the same thing when you talk about behavior and also joint problems, especially in big dogs.
So do you want to cross him over to the raw meat?
I think that's the optimum diet.
Okay.
The problem is that a lot of people can't. Or what'd you say? He's got is an English Mastiff?
Yes, he's a very huge dog. Yeah.
Yeah, so the problem is that a lot of times people can't financially do it. So I tell them, you know, we get them, you can use a good kibble diet and you can mix them together. Use some meat, use some vegetables, and put some, you know, high quality kibble in there. Then you have the benefits of the more natural diet. But then you also can use a little kibble to kind of stretch it out a little bit further.
And would you get into the raw vegetables as well, or the grease?
Yes.
You spoke of leafy greens for joints. Does that as well apply to dogs as well as humans?
Leafy, exactly.
Okay.
The other thing is omega-3 fatty acids.
Okay.
A lot of your fish oils will be good. Sometimes flaxseed will be good for them, but the omega-3s are usually pretty good.
Dr. Moorhead, we have only 60 seconds left. Give the listening audience your telephone number. We can continue the conversation, but quickly give them your telephone number, your contact information.
Okay, my contact information is Main Street Veterinarian of Stone Mountain, and it's 770-498-4620.
Repeat the number again, please. Repeat.
770-498-4620.
Okay, caller, stay on the line. I'm just going to close out for the people who are listening. Join us next week, and we will have another very, very educational and inspirational topic, and we will continue our topic on holistic medicine. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Okay, Dr. Moorhead, your call is dropped. Yeah, your friend dropped. Okay, so it's done. Congratulations.
Right.
It's an excellent show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a great show. Thank you very much. I think it's dropped, so I'm going to end it now in case it hasn't dropped, in case it's still recording. But thank you, and we'll talk tomorrow or the next day. But thank you so very much. You did an excellent job. And I think people learned a lot. And by tomorrow, by later on this evening, I would know the number of people who were on the computer. And then in a week, I would have some numbers, some big numbers to report back to you.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Well, thank you. And so we'll talk tomorrow or on Wednesday.
Okay. Well,
okay,
it needs to be tomorrow. It needs to be either tomorrow or
Friday. Oh, that's
Friday.
Right. Wednesday. Yeah. That's
we're
right,
gonna be closed. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. So I'll give me a call tomorrow at a time that's best for you. I know I have a client from 6 to 8, and then from 12:30 to 2:30, I have a client. So, but before or after them would be great.
Okay.
All right.
Ms.
Thank
Franklin.
You. Have a good evening.
Okay. You too.
All right.
Bye. Bye.